There'll be food and drink and ghosts, and perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited. You're all invited.
The box. You opened it. We came.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hello, I'm your host Faith for this slumber party. We have Clara with us today.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about horror icons. So, I've been a little bit over organized and I've made three categories for this week's episode.
Oh, okay, she's prepared.
So I've got icons, iconic, and stars.
I love this. I love this so much because there are like so many to pick. Like, and there's also like a few people that like I think kind of go under the radar a little bit in horror. So I'd be really interested to see, like, to actually see, like, the people that we've actually kind of chosen.
I've kind of gone for the obvious one for the stars. A few iconic ones might be a bit of a hit or miss for a lot of people. I might get some listeners going, what the fuck? How are they just iconic and not icons?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I kind of like, I mean, I guess because we are in the alphabet community, we have a completely different perception of iconic.
I mean, yeah.
Like, we really do. I mean, as like, the first one that actually I wanted to talk about is someone that is actually quite, well, she's very in the horror genre as of recent years, and I think she is just so iconic as a like as such a diverse actress, but she does horror so well. It's actually Anya Taylor-Joy. Now, I know you'd think Anya Taylor-Joy, you know, she did Super Mario, she did like that weird appearance in June. She's done like so many like Hollywood films. But let's not forget she was in The Witch, Last Night in Soho, which is one of my favourite horror films, Split, when she was how old? Like, and also The Menu, which is on Disney, which I highly recommend as well. She knows how to do horror so well, and her performances are all of, like, completely different. She's been the victim, she's been the perpetrator, she's been the final girl. Like, honey, she is an icon. Like, she is an icon of modern horror. Like, I will fight on this hill. Like, I will fight.
I mean, yeah, I hadn't actually thought of her, but I can see where you're coming from. I mean, she definitely has that very innocent appearance where you can't tell if there's like something simmering underneath. Like, are you going to be the one on the good team, or are you going to be like the one that's going to turn into a baddie kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, her character in Last Night in Soho, I mean, we've already done, like, an episode on this, like, with me talking about it, because I could honestly talk about the film for hours because it is my favourite film. But, like, you kind of think that it's going one way, that her character is kind of, like, you know, going one way, and then as you uncover more of the story, you get more in-depth, like, because her character is called Sandy, you get more in-depth into Sandy's actual psyche and what she's actually about. And then it's like, oh, girl, she just pulled the bloody twist on us. And you know what? I live. Like, I absolutely live. And she did it in The Witch as well. Although I don't really, I mean, this is just my personal opinion, I didn't really rate The Witch that much. A lot of work went into it, and I can totally appreciate, like, you know, that they wanted it to be like, you know, in the language of the pilgrim settlers and everything. And it was very, very authentically done. And it's a very well produced film that she was in, but I just personally didn't like it. I just thought it was a little bit boring. But like the twist that she pulled on us in that film as well, I'm like, this girl, like, if she doesn't win an Oscar, like, I am going to be pissed.
Can't remember if she did or not.
I don't think she actually did. I think she was nominated, but I don't think she actually won an Oscar.
Okay, so she got close to it then. That's good.
Yeah, so she was jointly presented the Academy Award for Best Animated Short and Best Animated Feature, but she didn't win an Oscar. And I think that is a hate crime, personally. Yeah, because in Split, she was the kidnap victim. Like she was the one that was being like held captive and everything. And she was only a teenager at that point. She was very young. And even watching that film like many moons ago, I thought this actress is so good. Like she portrays like the scared victim so well, and she portrays a really like demented psychopath quite well as well. And she was also the final girl in The Menu, and I'm like, that she's so diverse. And as a screen, like I would personally class her as a modern screen queen. I really would. She's just such an incredible actress. Like, I know this is a very alphabet person thing of me to say, but I am in fact obsessed.
I mean, if they did it as, if she was in like a home invasion horror movie and she had to like, if it was her house being invaded, I'd fucking watch it. Because I think
Yeah.
it would be interesting. Because I think she'd use her wit to try and like outsmart the people breaking in and not like, manipulate them.
Hell yeah. I think she would be really good at that. Like, what is the actress's name? Have you seen Ready or Not?
Yes, the woman that plays Evan.
Yes, I think she'd be really good as that kind of character. Like, really good.
Either that or she'd end up, I don't know, in like Ready or Not, I can imagine her being like the one that facilitated the entire thing.
She's just such an amazing actress. I think the whole film should just basically do a Tilda Swinton in Suspiria. Just get her playing like three different people, like, and she could just do it all. Like, she could just do the whole film. Like, this film solely stars Anya Taylor-Joy, and I'd be like, sold.
And sort of like the Nutty Professor, like where it's the Eddie Murphy playing every single bloody character, it's just Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, literally, exactly that. Exactly that. Like, honestly, I would class her as a modern screen queen. Like, I mean, we've obviously got Heather Langenkamp, Jamie Lee Curtis, Neve Campbell, but like, I would honestly, like, with the amount of work that Anya has done over, like, in the space of actually quite a short time in her career. Like, honestly, modern screen queen, obsessed. Could not sing her praises anymore. Although if I was in front of her, I would probably clam up and cry.
To be fair, I'd probably do the same. I mean, I'd probably just stand there and be and just not know what to say. Just stand there awkwardly.
You know, it's like, you know, those people that just like, you know, they meet someone famous and they just stand there really still and just have the biggest grin on their face and like the widest like eyes like flying saucers and they're just like, hi. Like
Yeah.
that would yeah. Like that would be us.
Oh, just you crying and just me going, yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly that. God, I can see it now.
Oh, God. I love it. Oh, no.
Okay, that's enough about Anya Taylor-Joy because I could just make this whole episode about
Okay, so for what was it? My stars, I've got Barbara Crampton, who's been in horror films since.
her. Day Dot.
Yeah. Yeah, literally since pretty much since she even started starring in films. Like, she's always been in horror movies, I think.
Yeah, like I think her, like her entire career was based, like, well, it basically started in horror.
Yeah, because I think it was the Reanimator. Because I rewatched it not too long ago, and I was like, "Is that Barbara?"
Yeah, yes, that's good old Barbara Crampton. Also, have you seen the Reanimator 2 is now on Shudder?
Oh no, I haven't. Oh, that'd be good.
Yes, yep, it's now on Shudder.
Finally, I mean, she's still going strong. She was in what was it, Jacob's Wife, which is on Netflix. She was in We Are Still Here. And
have you seen Suitable Flesh that she's also in?
I didn't know she was in that, but I do want to watch that film.
It is so funny. Like, it's a black comedy. Like, it has got, like murder and sacrifice and shit in it, but oh my god, it is so funny. Like, it's basically Freaky Friday, but like just make it really sexy and also add another serial killer in the mix.
I'm in.
Yeah, literally sold. And Heather Graham as well. Heather Graham is in it, and I didn't think that she would be a good horror actress, but smashed it out of the park for me.
Yeah, she's similar to Anya Taylor-Joy. She has that kind of that look of, she looks really innocent until you like piss her off in the film and you think, you know what, you do really well as a like, secret bad guy.
Yeah, literally Heather Graham has that kind of face as well. Like, it's, do you know what it is? It's the high cheekbones, it's the really big eyes, it's being pale, like, you know, the blonde hair, like, it's a look. Like, it's a look. Oh, and you know what I just had a thought of as well? Wasn't she in Chopping Mall, Barbara Crampton?
I believe so, yes.
Yep, she was in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, she's just in so many horror films. She's one of those people, when you spot her, it's almost like a drinking game. It's like, found her, found Barb.
Yeah. God, I think if you made a, like, a drinking game of, like, watch a film, spot Barbara Crampton, she would just, like, you'd be on the floor. Like, honestly, what was her? Oh, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, because I've seen Jacob's Wife. That was actually all right. What was the other one that she was in? Puppet Master, the one from 1989. Beyond the Gates. She was in Beyond the Gates. Have you seen that one?
Yep, we've got that on DVD. It's, yeah, she plays the board game master, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
I mean, talk about bloody versatile in terms of roles.
Exactly. Like, Barbara Crampton is, yes, an icon. Like, she was also in, what was the, it was a Christmas one. It wasn't that great, but I watched it anyway. December?
I think I've seen that.
Yep, she was in that as well. Oh, there's just so many. Her entire, we could honestly be here for like hours just talking about how many roles Barbara Crampton has been in horror. But she definitely, if there was like a Hollywood Walk of Fame, but specifically for horror, she, like, if she didn't have a star, I would say, like, she deserves a star on the Horror Walk of Fame. Like,
yeah, like, both of us would be there with like a hammer and chisels just making a star for her. It's like, she will get her star.
It's just, if you're not gonna give her one, we will give her one. And rightfully fucking deserved.
Exactly, yeah. And it just kind of like pours some, like, some wet cement in it. It's like, Barbara, get over here, put your hands in it.
Literally. Like,
I can just imagine her there, like, who the fuck is that?
It's like, so you don't know us, but we know you.
We're your biggest fans.
I'm your number one fan.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how many times a day that she gets that? Like, bless her. I'm your biggest fan. Oh, yes, yes. So are the other hundreds of thousands of people that have said that to me. She must know, though. She must know that she is, like, an icon, like, a screen queen, as you would call it. Like, she must wear it like a badge of pride. She has to.
Oh, she must fucking do. I mean, the amount of horror films that she's been in, and I reckon she's going to be in the future as well. Like, I think she bloody knows.
Yeah, she knows. I would be very surprised if she doesn't know, because she was also, like, she also does, like, a lot of, like, horror cons in, like, America, and, like, film cons. Like, so she goes and does, like, meet and greets and stuff. And I've seen it on, like, YouTube. There's a couple of documentaries that she's been featured in as well, where, like, the lines are crazy. Like, but the thing is, she absolutely loves, like, actually, like, going in and, like, meeting people, like, because she's just, you know, again, she's just iconic because she is also a really lovely person.
I think because she gets it. Like, if you like horror films, and, like, if people have, like, watched her throughout her career, I think she kind of, she understands where they're coming from, where they're like, I really like you as a person, but you as a character whenever you're in a film. And it's kind of like, I think for her, it's very, it must be lovely, because there's so many people that just kind of dip in and out of horror films. Like, they'll go in, do like a film, and then go off and do, like, never do horror again. Whereas she's made this, like, her career, literally just sticking with horror movies.
Yeah, like, this is her entire career. Like, and she, I guess she's also just really thankful that there are so many people that, like, are, like people like us, that are so into it, that, like, she's really thankful that, like, I mean, essentially, we're keeping her career going, like, and she's just really grateful that, like, you know, people want to still get involved, people still want to watch these films, like, they still want her to be in the films. And I think for her, that's, it's, you know, I think if I was Barbara Crampton, I'd be like, no, I'm not stopping until the day I die, like, you know, because she just loves it so much, and she suits it so well.
Yeah, she looks lovely. Like, you can kind of imagine going to either a wine bar with her or having, like, an afternoon tea with her. Either way, it'll be a fun time.
Either way, exactly. It would be a fun time. Like, although, again, I think if Barbara Crampton was like, do you want to go grab a drink? I'd be like, me? Little old me? Okay. Like,
to be fair, I'd probably pass out, but I'd just forget to breathe, even though it's like a thing that's meant to happen anyway. I'd just probably forget to and pass out in front of her.
Oh my god. Right. Oh god, you're not gonna believe this.
Oh god.
So I've got like my little like LED lights on in my room, and like my sun lamp, right? And like the curtains are all drawn, and I've just looked up at my fucking clothes hanger, and there's an empty hanger, right? And I'm not even joking, the shadow that is being cast off of it looks like, you know, the stick figures that are in the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, fuck off. No, that's horrible.
I'm sending you a picture right now. Honestly, you will gag.
Oh,
and
God.
Also, we will be posting this picture to Instagram, by the way. Like, just saying.
Okay, if it's funny enough, I'll put it as, like, the episode, the image that comes up when I post the episode on Spotify. That can be the header for it. That'd be funny enough.
that will literally be the header for it. Oh my god, honestly, like, because I just looked up and I was like, oh my god, no. Like, this is right now, perfect timing, but like, really right now. Oh god. Anyway, before I just browned my pants because I thought that some witch was after me.
Oh, Lord.
Fuck's sake. So, another icon that of course will be in both of our lists. Sigourney Weaver. Now,
oh yeah.
Sigourney Weaver. Now, I was actually very surprised that when like she originally auditioned for Alien, and they actually weren't going to make her the main character. They were going to give it to another one of her male counterparts, and she just kind of bolstered in, and then they were like, oh no, she can do it. And it literally essentially launched like her massive career that she has. She is a Sigourney Weaver is a queen. She's done, of course, she's done Alien, and pretty much all the films in that franchise. She's done Ghostbusters. She was even in The Village, and she had a very, very small part in The Cabin in the Woods, but it was so good.
Talk about iconic.
I know, literally, like the versatility, like she's got it. Like, and she's also just, didn't she get paid? Because you remember in, I think it's Alien 3, where she shaved her head. That wasn't makeup. That wasn't prosthetics. That was real.
She did that.
Yep, she did it. And I think she did it for, was it $4 million?
I mean, fair.
I know that it was like a massive sum of money, but they were like, we will give you this and you shave your head. And she went, where's the buzz cutter?
Give it to me now. Plug it in the wall.
Honestly, yes. I mean, I don't know how much it would have me. Oh, no, it was Alien 3. I don't know how much I would have to be. Yeah, it was. It was $4 million. She was paid $4 million to bare her head for 1992's Alien 3. And she ended up starring in the fourth one as well. And, well, I mean, the ones thereafter as well. Would I do it for $4 million? Actually, do you know what? Realistically thinking, yes, I would shave my head for $4 million.
To be honest, darling, the fact that I've literally been looking at houses, I would shave my head $4 million because at least I can buy a fucking house then and not have to pay deposit. I can just pay it all in one go and be done with it.
Yeah, I mean, lace fronts exist now. So, but my hair is pretty much like when it's all straightened. Now it's like actually like down to my bum, like when it's like perfectly straightened. So the thought of shaving it, I'm like, ugh. But I mean, Sigourney Weaver, come on. Like, and she looks so good. She looks so good with a shaved head.
I bet it would feel nice and fuzzy if you touched it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was just like, I wonder if as soon as she shaved it, she just kind of looked in the mirror and was like, fuzzy.
I mean, I do that to my wife whenever she gets like the side shave. I'm like, I'll just like play with the sides of her head.
Yeah, just like hair, fuzzy. And like my boyfriend, whenever he whenever he does the sides of his head, because he basically does the sides like pretty much like clean shaven off. And like come here, then it's like bald.
Oh God. I could just imagine the excitement you do.
yes. almost as excited as I get for like a new film that comes out. That's the level of excitement that I get.
Okay, I've got three more on the stars list for me. It's Tom Savini.
Oh.
Robert Englund.
Okay.
Lynn Shay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, let's talk about Tom.
Even nowadays, if you see him in a film, he's always got a leather jacket on and that bloody moustache, and you're like, yes, I know who you are.
He never changed his look for, like, anything. it's kind of like, I mean, not on the same level, but, like, you know how... I mean, I guess she's actually a lot diverse now because she's more grown up. But it's kind of like Kristen Stewart in the start of her career where she was just the same person. That's basically Tom Savini. He was just the same person in everything that he was in.
Yeah, always had the same personality. Was always like the one that was going to cause a bar fight. And was always, and it's just like, I love the fact that he was like the special effects artist in so many films, but he was always... he had a character type whenever he was like did like a cameo or he played an actual character in the film.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was, because the first film that I saw him in, I was definitely too young to be watching this film, was Innocent Blood, which, if I remember correctly, I think it's 1992. That was the first film that I ever actually, like, saw him in. And then, of course, as I old enough to watch horror, I was never really... I was watching horror films when I was, like, 9, 10 years old. Definitely my parents did not know about that. Definitely kept that one quiet. But he was also in Planet Terror, which, I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, I mean, I haven't seen Planet Terror for years, but that film is just so extra and just so ridiculous, but I live.
Yes, I forgot to say Tony Todd as well.
Tony Todd, which one's that one?
He played Candyman, who was also the fuel guy in all the Final Destination films.
Yes, yes, he was. I actually saw, what was it? It's on Shudder. It's the top 100 scariest moments in horror. And he was one of the guest stars that they had on there. Yeah, because Tony Todd's really the only thing that I can really remember that you really, really remember him from is Candyman.
Hmm. Oh, straight away. Like, you remember the big sort of like physical form of him. Like the fact he is not only quite tall, but he's well built. But my God, his voice could melt caramel and butter. And it's just, oh.
Helen.
Yes?
Helen.
Who is that? Who is that?
Helen, I came for you.
He does have a very sexy voice.
I mean, even I'll admit that, and I don't fancy blokes, and it's just kind of like, oh.
In here, I'm like, even the lesbians love Tony Todd. but... Speaking of Planet Terror, because of course Tom Savini, I don't think he actually designed Rose McGowan's character in it, but of course, like, he is a very, very known makeup artist that's also in like horror as well as being an actor. Of course, some of our listeners may or may not be familiar with the artist Kim Petras. However, Kim Petras actually dressed up for Halloween as Rose McGowan's character from Planet Terror. The comments on Instagram, you could tell that these people had never seen Planet Terror before or even knew that it even existed, because these people were probably born when it came out. Well, like, oh my God, that's so ableist. Like, oh, like, it's making fun of disabled people, like, you know, fun now, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, honey. Who's gonna tell him?
You just say like, oh no! You watch Planet Terror and then go back to and just watch it. You'll understand.
Exactly. Like, come on, Cherry Darling is come on. Like, Cherry Darling as a character is iconic enough. Rose McGowan as well. She is also iconic. Not just for the films that she has done, but also for her activism in Hollywood, for calling out all of the evil wrongdoers in Hollywood, which no one could take that away from her either.
I mean, I know where you're coming from with her. I mean, I love the fact she's done so much activism. There's been a couple of hiccups that she's done that's kind of made me go, ugh.
Yeah, there was a few things that she said that were a little bit like, ooh. Like, ooh, okay, maybe don't talk about that. And like, okay, reel it in about 30%, Rice. Like, come on, let's not completely kill our careers here. But like, yeah, I mean, she's not only done Planet, she's done Scream, and also another one of my favorite films, Jawbreaker, which I wouldn't necessarily, it's not like a drama or like a comedy. It's definitely a black comedy. Like, it involves murder. Like, it's a black comedy. And Courtney Shane is just the high school mean girl that what was it that I said to my friend the other day? Oh yeah, Courtney Shane walked so Regina George could run. That's what and it's true. I guess you could say Rose McGowan's a scream queen, but not as much as others, but she's definitely up there.
Oh, you want to play psycho killer? Can I be the helpless victim? Okay, let's see. No, please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. I want to be in the sequel. Cut, Casper. That's a wrap.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that people cosplayed as her character from Scream 1 at the For the Love of Horror, or saw two people dress as her character.
Oh, really? What, with the nipples?
Yes. yeah, iconic, the jumper, the skirt, the boots. But the only thing that was missing was the fact that neither of them were wearing cat flaps around them. And I was like, that would have made the character
cosplay
so much better.
No, if you do that cosplay, you need to have the cat flap. I think that factor alone is just non-negotiable. Like, you have to have the cat flap.
Yeah, it's just the fact that I literally, one person I was like, I did a double take at her and I was, are you from Scream? Are you that character? And she went, yeah. And I was kind of like, I almost felt bad because I was like, where's the cat flap? I just really wanted to ask her.
However, did she have the nipples?
I can't remember. It was cold that day, so it wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Because, like, I mean, I would just put like fake ones underneath just so that like the look was perfect and all together. Like, I mean, the 90s were definitely an age for not wearing a bra.
Oh dear. It's like, oh God, what was it? That meme that says, like, how excited are you for Halloween? It's just a picture of her with a nipstick threatening to stab through a jumper.
Me. Me, all year round. Me.
Oh God.
I mean, I just love how it's like, oh yeah, icons and horror, but the nips though. Oh my God. Okay, right. Back. ADHD, reeling it in. Back on track.
But yeah,
okay. So you had Tom Savini, Tony Todd, and that man's really, really sexy voice.
Robert Englund and Lynn Shay.
That's England spelled with a U, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because Freddy Krueger. Yeah, icon. Absolute icon. And also, absolute fucking sweetheart. Like, even though he played the most sadistic horror character, such a lovely person. Like, I know so many people that have actually met him at cons, and he makes such an effort to meet fans and take pictures, and he also does like a lot for like other films as well. Like, he's top tier.
Like, as soon as you hear his voice, you know instantly who it is. Or if you see like them in, like, see Robert in the film, and you're like, I know that dude, and I know this is going to be like, this film just got 10 times better because he's in it.
Yep, 100%. Like, and if you look at his, like, I mean, if you are like a real kind of horror fanatic, If you look at his face, you know exactly who he is. Like, you know.
Oh,
and he was also... Yep, carry on.
Go on.
No, so I was going to say, he was in the recent... was it on Netflix? The Choose or Die.
Oh, fucking hell, that film.
Yes, I do have thoughts as well.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, but he was actually himself, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Like, he wasn't actually in the movie itself, but he did... his voice was used.
Yeah. Because they used... because the AI thing in Choose or Die used his voice, wasn't it? I think that's the most recent thing that he's done.
I'm not sure. I can't remember now.
Because that was only in 2022.
Hmm. Yeah, I can't think of anything more recent.
Well, I mean, let's face it. When you've got Robert Englund's kind of salary, I think he can afford to take a couple of breaks.
I mean, fair, yeah.
Like, yeah, like totally. Like, how many Nightmare on Elm Street films are there? There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because there's the final Nightmare, and then he was in Freddy vs. Jason. That was funny. hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then Final Nightmare. The new Nightmare, the Final Nightmare. Then Freddy vs. Jason. I'm going to have to go on another binge and watch all of them like I did a few months ago.
We still need to do our franchise thing at some point.
Robert Englund. Yes. Hmm. Up there. Top tier. Excellence. And one of the last ones that I actually had, which, if you don't know this person from her absolute like plethora of films and her place in horror, like, you need to go back and watch pretty much all of the horror films. Jamie Lee Curtis, the queen herself.
Oh, the absolute... Apparently she's just a nice person, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's absolutely lovely. Like, she was, Kyle Richards? She's one of the... I mean, most people in the sort of pop culture world will know her as one of the OG housewives of the Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she was actually... the child, she was the little girl in the original Halloween films. She was saying how, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is basically like my mum on set. Like, you know, she would always like make sure that we were fed, make sure we were looked after. Like, and they had that kind of relationship for years. Like, you know, and they never like let it up either. I'm like, she's just so lovely.
I feel like I'd be confident enough to shake her hand and say, I love you, like, in your movies. I look forward to seeing like any future work. I don't think I'd kind of have a panic attack if I met her in person.
I think because we see her do so many kind of like press releases, and she's just so like unapologetically herself, even though she is like an amazing actress, like when she does like public appearances and that, she's not like because a lot of celebrities of course get like media training and stuff. So they have a certain exterior that they show in public, which is probably why a lot of people think that a lot of celebrities are quite intimidating, or that they come across as rude. Jamie Lee Curtis literally does not give a shit. Like, she is just so unapologetically herself and just really, really like down to earth. So I think, yeah, like if we ever saw her, we would just be like, oh, yeah, you're right, love. Like, do you want a cuppa? Like, you know, oh, are you working on anything recently? Oh, I loved you in Prom Night and Scream Queens. Like, you know, like, and you could, she's just the kind of woman that you could just have a chat with.
Yeah, that's what I like about her, is that really, like you said, she's unapologetic, but I like the fact that really she can do not only horror films, but comedies as well, like much she did Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan. I thought that was funny as hell.
Oh my God, it was so funny. Like, I still watch that film, like, just like, I just want to see Jamie Lee Curtis behave like a teenager. Like, it's great. what was that like? It's just like, his fries will go straight into your mouth and go down to my thighs.
Just her looking in the mirror, it's like, oh, I'm old.
It's just like, oh, I'm like the Crypt Keeper. Oh, but she was also, because like one of my favorite roles is when she was the dean in Scream Queens. If you haven't watched Scream Queens, oh my God, it is like one of my favorite series ever, because it is so stupid, because it takes the piss out of every horror trope you could possibly think of. Whilst also being set around a load of rich sorority girls.
I need to watch this.
you will absolutely love, like, I quote Scream Queens all the time. Like, it's just, what fresh hell is this? But she's Dean Munch, and because of course she's got quite an extensive horror background, she did the trope of the dean of the school that doesn't believe any of them, thinks they're crazy, and then is being accused and does like the playing mental but actually isn't sus herself type role. She just does it so well, and she's fucking hilarious. Like, she's so funny. But like, yeah, she, I mean, her in the Halloween films, I mean, that was her proper breakthrough in Halloween. And I thought, like, I mean, because I've recently actually just binged all of the Halloween films, and she's just brilliant. Like, she's just absolutely exceptional as an actress. And she plays, I mean, I don't like using the word like victim, but like, she plays the victim so well. Like, that, like, she could run scared, and she does it well.
I love how, like, that movie, she's very quotable as well. Like, the fact she's like, Tommy, the keys! Tommy, the keys! And it's just, it's just like, little things like that are just funny.
I sometimes shout that to my boy, I'm like, oh, the keys! Oh, the keys! And then he's just like, why are you being so aggressive? And I'm like, Halloween? Like, come on, like, get with it, duh. And oh, I was also, I only actually found this out very recently, and I was kind of surprised, but also not surprised. Her mother was in Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, her mother did the most recognizable scene in horror history. That was Jamie Lee Curtis's mum.
Like, yeah.
talk about following in your mum's footsteps.
Yeah, I mean, it must be very difficult to be known as a screen queen, but I think for her to get into horror movies, she must have, especially when she started, there must have been quite a few people that compared her to a mum.
Yeah, I think she must have gotten, like, oh, well, your mum did it, so can you? And I think maybe she was like, well, yeah. Like, yeah, my mum did it. Do you know why? Because my mum's fucking great. Like, you know, she's, my mum's Janet Leigh. But I think, she, like, as an actress, because, like, Halloween actually kind of, like, launched her career. The same as, like, Johnny Depp. Like, his breakthrough role was Nightmare on Elm Street. And that's how he actually got all of his roles. Like, after that, because after that he was in Crybaby, and then it just fucking went mental from there. Jamie Lee Curtis kind of had the same thing. Like, she did Halloween, and then after she did Halloween, like, everything just kicked off for her. But I think having a mum in Hollywood must be a bit hard in that aspect, only because you've kind of had a standard that's set for you already that you don't even probably know about. You have to kind of hit that standard. I guess, like, that must be hard if you've got a mum in Hollywood. And also, your mum did the most iconic scene in like, horror history. Can you top it?
Yeah, it's kind of like having, studio executives, directors, producers, essentially creating a shadow from your mother to cast over you. It's kind of like, well, are you going to outshine her? Are you going to be enveloped by it?
Yeah, it must take a toll on you in some way. Because, I mean, there's been a lot of, like, parents in Hollywood whose, like, kids have obviously followed that have led on to very successful careers. But a lot of the time, a lot of the criticism that they face is, yeah, well, you had your mom, so it's not like you had it, like, you know, difficult or anything. And it's like, well, give them some credit. They're still good at what they do. Like, so regardless if they had a famous parent or not, like, yeah, it might have given them a leg up, but, like, come the fuck on. If you've got a leg up, you'd be stupid not to use it, surely.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Because even, like, after she did it was 2 years after the first Halloween film, she did Prom Night. And Prom Night was a really good, like, good set of films. Have you seen them?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the sequels, but I'd love to.
I haven't seen the sequels either, but Prom Night, like, another slasher film, just does it so well. But again, I think she got a foot in the door because her mom was in horror. But again, I think maybe she kind of felt like that she had a standard that she already kind of either she set it for herself, or the producers and directors that she was working with set it for her and be like, you know, you need to be, you know, you need to kind of be on your mom's level. And it's like, she definitely has kind of surpassed her mom in that aspect, because her film plethora is a lot bigger than her mom's, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think. Has she actually been any films that are kind of classed as, like, duds?
Because
I can't think of any.
No. Not that I can think of off the top of my head, actually. I think her career's actually been pretty secure. Because she was recently in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, fucking love that film.
Oh, honestly, it was so fucking weird, but it was so good. She is going to be in the new Borderlands thing. I think it's a series, actually. Jamie Lee Curtis has starred in that, which comes out later this year. Terminator? I don't think she's actually been in any, like, box office flops. Not that I can think of.
I need to look into this at some point.
Literally, like, maybe not any that, like, we would have seen. But I can't think of any kind of really, really famous films that she's done that have flopped. I think she's actually been very lucky in that way. Or, you know, she's just really fucking good at what she does.
Oh, I'm going to end up going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, this is now one that we have to like look up. Oh yeah, that was another one she was in. She was in The Fog as well.
Oh yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah, she was in The Fog with, what's his fucking name?
Mrs. Mustache.
Yes, John Carpenter, and also her mum. And her mum was also in, not Halloween Ends, is that Halloween 20?
H2O?
Yeah, I think she's in that one as well. And I'm like, imagine working with your mum. I couldn't.
Like, imagine if your mum turned around and said, you fluffed your line, Jamie, and it did that. Oh, shut up, mum.
Yeah, literally. Mum, you're embarrassing me in front of Hollywood.
God's sake.
Yeah, I don't think I could cope with that. It's just like, Jamie, you need to rehearse your lines, Jamie. Mom! I think that would probably be like, however, I mean, I could be totally wrong. Maybe they work like really, really well together. But I mean, with generally moms and daughters in Hollywood, it tends to go just like that.
Oh, God. Okay, shall we move to icons?
Yes.
So I've kind of got, iconic. So I've put iconic as, like, the characters you'd think of, you'd see them and kind of go, oh, yeah, I know that character, you know of. You like them, but yeah, not exactly franchise material. They're not exactly something that would pop up on everyone's radar straight away, but they have that quality. You recognise them as like, I know them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I've got quite the list for it.
I've got a couple of names that I'm very interested to see if you actually have them.
Okay. I've got Elvira.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, Elvira, the Babadook. Yes.
Yes! The queer icon we never knew we needed.
The Babashook, yes.
The Babashook, yes, queen, house down boot.
Slenderman.
Come again.
Slenderman. You know, not for the films, but because of the games and also because of, like, Marble Hornets as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did kind of go, eh, should I put him on there? But I was like, you know what? Yeah, why not? Because everyone knows that yep. Static noise from all those fucking play photos from the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
The Shining Twins.
Come play with us, Danny.
Oh, my God. Yes. Like, and you know what? I haven't actually seen twins dress up as them for Halloween for quite a while now. And I'm like, where are the twins? Like, I don't have two of me, so I can't do it. But, like, honey, if I had a twin, that would be, like, one of the first things that I would do.
Not anytime you go to a horror convention, you're like, we're dressing up as the twins, and they're like, you what? Put their dress on! Put their dress on, we're going to the con!
Put the dress on!
Put the wig on, you bitch!
Literally, it's just like, here's the lace, I'll glue it down if I have to.
Gods. Say the line, you whore!
Honestly, yeah. Come play with us, Johnny, forever and ever.
So, oh, God, can I sit down yet? No. No, you can't sit down yet.
No, we have to scare people. We have to freak them out.
Quick, fall on the floor before they see us.
Can you imagine that actually being a thing? Because obviously, like, it's a, like, how do you describe it? It's like when the camera just cuts to a different shot and then it cuts back to the one that it was originally. And, like, in that shot, they're on the floor and there's blood everywhere, right? Imagine just doing that randomly, but at a con in real life. Just, like, just randomly just dropping to the floor.
It'd be amazing.
But, like, drop to the floor, but, like, serve it while you're at it.
Yes.
Literally. I mean, in terms of characters, I mean, and a lot of people actually don't know her name, which I was quite surprised at because they do actually mention it in the films. Samara. From The Ring.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Sadako from, like, the original The Ring as an icon. Because her and, well, Sadako from The Ring, and I've got Kayako from The Grudge as icons. There you go.
Yeah, that fucking noise traumatises me.
That's traumatized like a whole generation.
Like, I remember, I think I might have told you this, when I was 9, I lived in Singapore, And I lived in Singapore in like 2001, and that film had just come out.
Oh God!
And of course, in Singapore, literally the most haunted city in Asia. Love that for me. I was obviously perusing the HMV when, you know, it was cool, and, you know, came across The Grudge. Obviously, because I was a kid, I couldn't get it. But I managed to find it. I think actually one of, it sounds a lot more bougier than it was, but it was kind of a standard for expat families. I got my nanny to buy it for me. I kind of guilted her into it. She bought it for me and then put it in the DVD player. And then I watched it. And basically now I'm 31 and I still have to have all of the doors closed. And I literally have to hold my hair when I'm in the shower because... yeah, that film has literally traumatized me.
The reason why I put those two as icons is as soon as you hear like that croaking sound, or you see someone with long black hair in a white dress, straight away you know what that's from.
You know, like even if you are not a real, like if you're not like an avid horror fan, you know, like, and that is a powerful character. Like, that's powerful.
Oh, I've got a funny story as well. My niece, when
go,
she was...
Go
when
ahead.
She was, when my niece was very young, her hair used to be really long, and my family all have very dark hair. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, my sister woke up one night to my niece at the... standing next to the bed in, like, her pyjamas with her hair down, and she was... Mom, I'm scared. And my sister went, yeah, so am I. Oh, God.
Just not knowing. Like, just not knowing. It's like when children don't know that they're scary as fuck.
To be honest, if it was me, I probably would have yeeted her, but...
I mean, if I woke up and, like, there was a little girl standing next to my bed with really long black hair and a white dress, honey, I'd, like, it's on site. Like, honey, I am not responsible for the fact that you're creepy, okay?
Oh, it's weird, because she could do, like, she looked like Sadako from The Ring, but she made the sound from Kayako from The Grudge really well as too. Oh, so it was like, oh, that's horrible. Oh.
Nope, absolutely not. Like, absolutamente no. Like, I'm not dealing with that. I have managed to survive until 31 years old, and I want to go on for a little bit longer. So I am not spending it in jail because I'm yeeting a kid that looks like Sadako. Okay.
It's fine. She's mid-20s now, so it's fine.
Oh, thank God. Okay, right. Okay, thank God. Right. there is so many horror, iconic, like, even, you know, when people dress up for Halloween, even if, like, you've not seen the film, you know who it is. Or, like, if they're taking the piss out of the character in, like, a completely, like, unrelated film. You know who they've taken the piss out of? Because another one that I actually had was Regan from The Exorcist.
Oh, straight away, yeah.
Like, even if you have never actually seen The Exorcist, do recommend it, by the way. It's, like, you know that that's Regan. Linda Blair, another iconic woman, had a lot to say though about, like, so after the Exorcist films came out, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think she's in the third one. She's in obviously the first one, and she's in Exorcist 2 The Heretic, but I don't think she's actually in the third one.
No, she's not.
When she actually came out about some of the stuff that happened to her on set, and she's like, because I've watched this documentary that she was on. It's actually, the documentary series is actually on Shudder. It's about cursed films. I do also recommend that because it kind of delves deep into, like, all these, like, cursed film, like, conspiracies and things like that. And she goes into, you know, like, that she's so grateful for her career, that she, you know, is really kind of, like, taken aback by how many people recognize her and everything, and she loves it, but she's like, I don't really want to talk a lot about what happened on that set because it was really traumatic. And I'm like, oh, like, and a lot of people actually read into that as, you know, oh, she's biting the hand that fed her. But it's like, girl, if your back was nearly broken from a, like, machine that malfunctioned when you were filming, I think you'd be a little bit pissed too. Like, wouldn't you? Like,
yeah, she sustained a back injury. I think she nearly slipped a disc. She was only like 14 when that happened, I think.
Yeah, like she was literally a teenager. Like, so what happened was the thing was the metal thing that was on her back. She, under her clothes, she was attached to that, and her nightdress was put over the top of her so you couldn't see it. And it was just going back and forth. But what happened was the slip thing came undone while they were filming. So you know the scene where she's like, you know, like going back and forth on the bed?
Mm.
She is in, like, hysterical pain. Like, when she's, like, crying out, that wasn't fake. That was real. Like,
yeah, because if you watch that scene, there's a bit where it's happening and she actually shouts, William. That's the director's name. So she shouted his name to make him stop the machine. And it's still in the film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still there. Like, it's still in the film. And it's like, you know, she, like, it, as far as I know, she had to go to fucking hospital and everything. Like, they had to, like, treat her because she almost slipped a disc. Like, it was horrible. And yeah, she also explained, like, there were certain things that she just point blank wouldn't talk about. Like, she just would not talk about them. Especially some of the stuff that involved, like, you know, the demons and the supernatural shit.
Mm.
She was like, no, bad juju, don't want it, not going there. Which I do actually kind of get, because there were a couple of deaths associated with that film.
Yeah.
And yeah, not necessarily the way that she was treated as an actress, but more of what she saw kind of going on behind the scenes, which is why The Exorcist is looked at as a cursed film. But can you imagine that? Your first breakthrough role, the role that you are most known for, and you're like, yeah, that shit was really fucking traumatizing.
Yeah, like, not only physically, mentally, emotionally, but also, like, giving you, like, an injury that has, like, stayed with you for God knows how many years. Because I think she had to go to physiotherapy because of that back injury. But also, like, later in life, she did end up, like, getting another back injury from another film, I think.
What was the other one that she did in... Because The Exorcist was 73. I think she did the second one in quite a way after that, because Reagan was a teenager in The Heretic. But from memory, I don't think she did anything overly strenuous for that one.
Thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. I think it might have been in Repossessed, which was another Exorcist film that she did. But it didn't do anywhere near as well. But she did do, like, quite a lot of films after that. But, I mean, if you were a teenager and, like... your body was being pushed to such a limit. Like, come on, that's got to have a fucking toll on you. And I mean, all the power to her. Like, she's dealt with it very, very well. But I mean, when you're still growing in that, like, that's, bless her, that's got to have an effect on you in some way or another.
Yeah, because at that sort of age, you're still growing, you're still developing. Like, there's still a lot going on with your body. So the fact that it's, like, having such a big... injury before you've, like, in the time of your life where you're meant to be kind of like if you fall over you can, like, just walk it off and you'll be fine, like, you have, like, an accident, you'll be all right. But for it to literally quite have such a big impact on her for so many years within her teenage years, it's quite shocking.
Yeah, literally. And, like, I mean, as far as, like, the directors and producers and other people on that set, you know, they were saying, you know, we did do our best to try and look after her, but like to her, they're like, I think you could have done a bit better, like, especially when, like, because I mean, this was also the 70s, the laws regarding child actors, I mean, nowhere near as bad as Judy Garland and Wizard of Oz, but, you know, still not exactly the best. Like, child actors were still treated, you know, they were basically told, oh yeah, you need to be an adult now. Like, oh yeah, here's a 14-hour day for you. Oh, now that's done. Be back here in 6 hours. Like, I think the fuck not. I think I'm going to have my 8 hours of sleep and you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm just glad that laws have changed a hell of a lot since then.
Hell yeah. And I mean, speaking of child actors, how old was Sissy Spacek? How old was she when she did Carrie? Because she was quite young.
I don't know. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, hold on. I'm going to know now. Right. Apparently, during production, she was 26.
She looks that good at 26.
Yep.
Honey, I want to know what sheep placenta injection, like, I want to know what her regime was. Like, honey, that skin was taut. Like, for 26. And she was playing a high schooler. That is amazing. Also, Carrie White, another icon. Let's face it.
Yes, I will admit she is. Yes. Yeah, just all of it.
Just all of it. I mean, I don't know if anyone saw, but like, I totally dressed up as Carrie for Halloween. And it was also one of my favorite looks that I've ever done because it was just perfect. And so but surprisingly, I'd never done Carrie. But again, Carrie is one that you will know. But what I have noticed as well, especially with, you know, of course, like, you know, the rise of beauty influencers, right? And, you know, Halloween comes around and then they're like, well, I still really want to be, like, really pretty for, like, Halloween. I don't want to be, like, spooky because why would you look spooky on Halloween? That was a very good impression, by the way.
Yeah, I'd be like, bitch, move over. I want to be scary.
Yeah, literally, like, no, bitch. Like, no, I'm getting the fake blood. I'm getting out the fangs. Like, I'm doing it. Yeah, like, Carrie is the one that they go for because you can still be quite pretty and you only have to, like, do a little bit of blood. And, you know, you can still wear the pink prom dress. You could still be pretty. But if you just add that little bit of blood, everyone knows who you are.
And I love that for her. It's a very much a, you know, good for her kind of movie.
Like, my favourite genre of horror is good for her. Like, and honestly, even when she was just covered and soaked in blood, I'm like, work, sis. Like absolute slay queen. Also, speaking of slay queens, a modern day screen queen, Mia Goth, honey. She is literally slaying it in the horror game at the moment. Like, with X, with Pearl, with Maxine that's coming out. So, the Ty West trilogy. The trailer for Maxine, holy shit, that looks so good.
I still need to see the trailer. I don't want to get my hopes high.
Make me the biggest star the world has ever known. So that I make it place.
Now, caring for your family during these times is admirable, but you only get one take at this life.
If only they would just die.
Pardon?
Nothing.
Trust me when I tell you, when I saw this trailer, I was living, dying, gagging, breathing all at the same time. Like, I am so excited for this. And the thing is, like, Pearl, I get it's like, if you saw that button-up red dress with the black hair all tied back, you'd be like, that's very Pearl. Like, that's so Pearl.
Funny you say that. There was actually someone dressed as Pearl with the dungarees and the scarecrow at For the Love of I saw it. It's like, Pearl.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, I took a photo of her and the woman that was in Ready or not Ready or Not. No, yeah, Ready or Not with the bride dress on and the gun.
Oh, the one that looks like Margot Robbie.
Yes, those two were like cosplaying next to each other. I was like, can I please take a photo?
Oh my god, I love that so much. Like, I tell you what, actually, speaking of which, I was at a so there's this thing that they do at one of the bars down in Brighton, right? Called like the Lip Sync for Your Life, like, you know, like on Drag Race, and they do like their own version, and whoever's in the final gets their slot on like the next big drag show, because we have a lot of the Drag Race girls that come and perform in Brighton. And they, so basically the winner gets a slot on like as a support act for the Drag Race Queen. So a lot, they take it very, very seriously. And one of the girls dressed up as Pearl with the red dress and the axe and the blood over it. And I was like, bitch, work your magic. Yes. Like, I was so obsessed. Like, I was working at the club at the time and I could not take my eyes off it. And they were like, Georgie, you need to get back behind the bar. And I'm like, 1 minute. 1 minute, she's chopping them up now.
Don't ruin this moment.
She needs to be a star. She's a star. None of them got the reference, by the way. Like, I just want to put that out there, that I was making all of the references and none of them got it. And the yeah, literally. Like, and then Mackie was her name. Mackie came off the stage. And Mackie was like, I heard you screaming that she needs to be a star, you're a star. And it literally made me want to go more psycho. And I was
Trolls.
Like, do the more psycho. No, in like a good way. Like, it was like, I wanted to like, I was kind of reeling it in a little bit, like, because I didn't want to go too psycho, but you made me want to go more psycho. And I was like, do the more psycho. Be it more, like, be Pearl. Like, all you were doing was chasing your dreams and they got ripped from you, so you decided to cut up people instead. Come on.
Oh god, I would have paid to have seen that play out in front of me, just them on stage and you just going mental behind the bar.
Oh my god, I was living. Like this queen. Just, and the dress was so spot on as well. Like, it wasn't, like, I mean, it could have been cheap, but, like, honey, it didn't fucking look it. Like, it looked like the dress from the film, which just made it even better, because I was like, oh my god, she got it so right. Like, I live. Like, I literally live for this. But, yeah, there's, like, god, there are just so many... Like, I mean, I have seen so many, like, drag renditions of, like, horror characters. I mean, I've seen Pinheads, which I do want to do one day. However, that is very time-consuming. I don't know whether I would have all of the patience for that one.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah, all those pins. It would be very tight. Yeah, that would take ages.
Yeah, it would be very, very time consuming. But it probably would be, I am quite good at makeup, but like for me, that would definitely take me about 3 hours. Definitely take me 3 hours. But yeah, anyway, it's like, sorry, ADHD sidetrack. So like, you know, we've seen Pinheads. We've seen lots of Freddy Krueger's, like, you know, and the thing is, when drag queens do makeup, like, and then they go on, like, there's three. There's always three types of queens on Halloween. You've got the one that does not do spooky at all and just decides to dress up as a cat and be really sexy or put on a black lip and call it done, right? You've got the other queen that does the rendition, but still wants it to, you know, serve cunt, but still look gorge at the same time. And then you've got the queen that's like, nope, I'm pouring guts and worms and I'm using the knife on stage. Like, I am going in. Basically, all the queens from Dragula.
Also on Shudder.
Also on Shudder, yes. Yeah. like, if you're not into Drag Race, and you think the Drag Race is too sort of like, yas, mama, work, yas, Dragula would be for you. It's basically the same kind of concept, except all of the queens are like glam and gore, and also another set of icons, the Brulé brothers. Brulé brothers, and they are so influential in the queer community in horror. Like, so influential.
I need to look them up.
They have, how long have they been doing what they're doing? Like, they've been doing it for so long. I think they started Dragula about, I want to say, 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
Hmm.
But before then, I mean, they were doing shows up and down, like, the US. And their whole thing is, like, they're a couple, but they wear exactly the same outfits in drag and have, like, the same hair, the same makeup, the same outfits. But they're, like, opposite each other. So, like, for example, if one of their sleeves was longer on one side, Swantula's would be on, like, the left. And, like, the other ones will be on, like, the right side. So it's, like, they're wearing the same outfit, but it's in, like, reverse.
Okay, so it's kind of almost like a reflection.
Yeah, it's like a reflection, basically. Like, the way that they do it, and their makeup is, like, perfect. They also do their own podcast, where they actually talk with other, like, really big influential people in horror, like Rachel Chu from The Craft. I think they've even done one with Farooja Bock as well. I'm not positive, but I think she's also done one with Barbara Crampton. Honestly, they are such influential, to me anyway, as, like, queer icons in the horror community. Like, they do so much. And also, they look... So they are just so gorgeous, and I've met them and I actually melted and just started blabbering at them because they were in front of me and I was just like, oh my god, you're real. You're real. You're not just on my TV. Like, you're real.
Oh, it's just, that's adorable.
Yeah, honestly, they were so great. I mean, what other, like, really iconic horror icons have we got? I mean, we've also got Jason. I mean, the hockey mask, but come on. Everyone knows that when men cannot be bothered, they either go as, like, Jason or Michael Myers, because you just put on a fucking jumpsuit and a mask and call it a day.
Let's see. Iconic, I've got Slipmouth Woman, Toxic Avenger, Creeper from Jeepers Creepers, Ash from Evil Dead, Jigsaw and his puppet, and Wishmaster.
Yeah, the Jeepers Creepers monster, because I've just rewatched all of those. What in the ever-loving fuck is that?
I don't know, but, I mean... Fantastic monster. The director's a monster as well. But yes, I like the monster in the movie.
You think the monster is like, I don't know, a reflection of him? I don't know.
Not sure. I mean, interesting concept, but...
Didn't the Scissor Mouth Girl have a name?
I can't remember her name.
Because I remember watching it again. Another film that I genuinely should not have been watching, because it came out 2000 and... I think I just moved to the UK, I think. So it must have been about 2007 when it came out, or it must have been before then. It must have been. And I remember watching that. I've actually heard that. So that film actually does derive from a legend that I'd heard from a lot of the Japanese students at my school in Singapore. So when I saw that this film come out, I was like, oh God, they've made a movie of it. I didn't... You know the saying, curiosity killed the cat?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the cat decided to give me trauma. So when this pandemic hit and there was all these people walking around in masks, do you want to know the first thing that I thought of? Yeah. Yeah. That, so for those of you that don't know, the Slit Mouth Woman is a J-horror, so you know she's going to be good. She's a vengeful spirit that basically has her, it's not so much a Chelsea grin, because one side is cut upward, but the other side is cut downward. And she wears, like, the surgical mask that, you know, we were all wearing during 2020. And she basically kidnaps children and children go missing and everything. It's a whole thing. And it's also derived from a legend that was in Japan. And the legend's been going on for years and years and years. And she holds this massive pair of scissors and it's like, you know, she'll slit the mouths of children and shit. And it's really fucked up. But it's a very, very, very good film. Now, anyone that's seen this film or anyone that has ever heard of the legend and would just see a woman with long black hair and really, really light coloured eyes with a surgical mask holding a pair of scissors. Yeah, nightmare fuel. But also, go watch it.
Icons, I'm pretty much, I've got the normal usual suspects for the icon section. So it's Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Chucky, Sadako, Kayako, Leatherface, Freddy Krueger, Candyman, and Ghostface.
Ghostface, my boy! My boy, Ghostface! Oh God, and you know what, Ghostface is not only iconic, but so many people, you kind of know who's old enough of that generation by how they know who Ghostface is, because they'll either tell you it's from Scream or they'll tell you it's from Scary Movie.
I mean, either one.
Yeah, basically. Because I had a customer in. Now, I've actually got this, top, and it's got ghost face on it. But it's actually kind of cute. Like, it's a cute little ghost face. I was like, oh, from that film. The really stupid one where, like, they're all getting killed off one by one. I was like, Scream. It's like, no, that's not it. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, that's Scream. And she was like, no. And then she went away. And then she came back and she was like, Scary Movie. And I was like, where the fuck do you think it came from? Like, I was just a bit like, really? You know Scary Movie, but you've never seen Scream? Really?
I mean, both fantastic movies, I'll admit.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, they'll never make them like that again. But Ghostface, because it was just such a... Even though it is just such a simple disguise, like, it's so simple, but so iconic because you... Like, again, you know who it is. Like, even if you've never seen the film... You know that face. You've seen the movie posters posted around. Like, you know that face. The only thing that's kind of upsetting, especially for me as, like, a makeup girl for Halloween, Ghostface is pretty hard to do on your actual face.
Yeah, I can imagine it looking a bit weird.
Yeah, like, because obviously you've got, like, the long mouth and then the long eyes. And it's like, I've seen girls try and do it. but like it never really turns out well. But like with Jason, now there's a hack here. You can actually paint it on, but then keep the eye hole bit of the hockey mask. Like, so when you're drawing it on your face, keep the bit around your eyes blank. And then just do like your face, like the hockey mask.
Mm.
Very time consuming. However, again, everyone knows who it is. Although, fun fact, that mask didn't actually come in until the third film.
Yeah, a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, that mask didn't actually appear until the third film. Like, it's only iconic in, like, from the third film because he's, wow, he's wearing a paper, it's not a paper bag, it's like a burlap sack thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, it was his mum who was the killer in the first film. Wahey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's Mommy first. Dear. She's done her homework. I mean, my homework is literally horror films. Like that is literally my homework. I love being 30 now. My homework is whatever the fuck I want it to be. And it's mainly horror films. Yeah, I think the only other one that I can, that I really, really like kind of would think was just so iconic. Again, not really one that maybe like people would know, but in the J horror world, which is quite well known. More of as an actress. It was Lucy Liu, like her assistant on the side. You know the one that had the ball and chain.
Yes, from Kill Bill.
Chiaki Kuriyama. That's her name. She was also in Battle Royale. And she's just like, a lot of people would kind of think like, oh, you know, she's not really like a massive screenwriter. She was also in a film, again, which, I mean, why did I have to live in Singapore as a child? Like, why? Because I swear the amount of J-horrors I used to watch. She was in a film called Hair Extensions, which was basically about, like, well, killer hair. Yeah, it's a whole thing. You should totally go watch it. It's really fucked up. And yeah, she's actually like, she's also in The Grudge.
Okay.
Yeah, Chiaki Kuriyama is in the original Grudge. But she was very, very young. And I think, like, for me, I'm like, no. She's totes a screen queen. Like, she's definitely a screen queen. Like, for me, anyway. And her role in Battle Royale, I got really upset when her character story was being told. Although I will say, even though it is quite fucked up in the film, I'm not going to give it away because I want everybody out here listening to go watch Battle Royale because it is so good. It's basically the original Hunger Games. It is the Hunger Games, but actually brutal. Like, brutal. But yeah, like, her backstory was very downplayed because in the, like, graphic novels, holy fuck, it is a lot worse. But I am kind of glad that they didn't make that move to make it a lot more explicit because it is incredibly dark. But she played that character like so well, and she was also in Kill Bill, which a lot more people would know her for being in Kill Bill. What was that? Her name was something like Go-Go, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Go-Go. And fuck me, was she savage in that film?
Oh yeah, like, I mean, I have always kind of wanted to dress up as her for Halloween, but then I've kind of been like, is that appropriation? Because it's a character, it's not actually, but I don't know. Also, 31-year-old dressing up as a schoolgirl, a little bit weird.
Just a tad, yeah.
Yeah, just this much. Just a little bit. You can't see my fingers, but like they're just touching. Like just. But yeah, like that's pretty much everyone I pretty much had on board.
So where can our lovely listeners find you?
They can find me on Instagram. That's at the Clara Fawn, and that's Clara with a K and Fawn, Fawn.
Lovely. And yes, we have someone on Patreon, our first pledge, well, our first patron. It's actually Heath, who's on the show on a regular basis. So F1, send an applause to Heath for helping to keep this going. I hope everyone enjoyed that episode as much as me and my guest. You can like, share, subscribe. You can also leave us a comment, join our Patreon. You can always send us suggestions for episodes or franchises. If you're interested, our Patreon is £3 a month. You get extra episodes, seasonal ones and franchise ones as well. So I hope everyone enjoyed themselves and we'll see you in the next one.